You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I'm Brad Jackson.
So, you know, the two-week spoiler ban is officially over. We're finally going to get into it. Talk some Infinity War. And probably talk a little bit about some Black Panther, too, since we haven't discussed that since our last Marvel episode. And Wakanda's kind of heavy in this movie. But
I mean, the beauty of it is, basically everything MCU, we can now officially talk about at one large capacity, because everything in the MCU is pretty much Infinity War.
Yes, pretty much. What we've been building for 10 years has finally all come to fruition.
So, spoilers.
Yes.
You have been warned.
So, yeah, we didn't find an Infinity Stone cigar, but we tried to come as close to it as we could, so what are we smoking this week, Brad?
So this week, we've got the Affinity Maduro Robusto. This is going to be a Connecticut Broadleaf Maduro wrapper with Nicaraguan binder and filler. This is going to come in, I'm going to say medium, maybe medium plus.
Yeah, because the Affinity brand of Sindicato previously has been like a Connecticut, like, you know, just a standard Connecticut wrapper, a little bit more to the, you know, mild to medium side. But now they've decided to slap this big Maduro wrapper on it and give us something a little bit more, with a little more kick to it.
Yeah, which is, you know, I I've seen the Affinity a few times and I'm like, oh, I'd like to maybe try that. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm just opposed to light wrappers. I absolutely judged a book by its cover in this case, and now that I'm smoking the Maduro, I'm like, this is a good cigar. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, because like I said, since I'm like the, you know, smoke stuff black as the Ace of Spades, it's, you know, just, you know, I tend to stay away from the Connecticut because they tend to be too mild for me. But there, I mean, there are some that I've had that are got decent flavor for being, you know, a Connecticut and a little bit lighter. So, you know, it's, you know, slapping this Maduro on it, like, definitely improves the the taste of it for my palate anyway.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, I'm enough about the fucking cigar. I'm ready to talk about the movie. But no, this cigar is, you know, a nice surprise. I mean, like, I've passed over the cigar probably 100 times, and now here I am finally smoking it, and it's not bad.
I didn't realize it was a Sindicato cigar until I picked it up, but I've definitely, like, it's one of those that's like, I don't know what that is, so I haven't smoked it, and really the only reason I picked it out to smoke it is because it sounded like Infinity, and then I'm like, I actually discovered a pretty decent cigar. So, you know, if you have to fight Thanos for an Infinity Gauntlet, you should probably call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. You know, kick the can. You don't need the can. You know, if you have to, like, you know, run for your life because, you know, Thanos is about to snap you out of existence, you know, they come in little tin pouches. You can carry them anywhere. Yeah, and they even deliver to Wakanda. I mean, they deliver worldwide. It doesn't matter. You're in a hut in Wakanda, mining some vibranium. They will show up with some Strike Force.
I like that.
So without further ado, on with the show.
Fun isn't something one considers when balancing the universe. But this does put a smile on my face. Child evident, now you ready to bow. Interrogate how you believe irrelevant. Wow, malevolent vow to proceed to level and plow half of the universe. But first, to shoot it,
hurts. Infinity stones, all capabilities grown. I'm all powerful and breaking every miserable bone. Every citizen, including the Avenger Initiative, can't do anything. I'm taking all your hope and I'm killing it. And that will be the story of you. You all died, it was all pride. Gotta admit that you all tried. What did you expect? I only court death. You can get that break, cause this is your last breath.
We've been waiting for this moment, the final opponent, collecting the components. We've been waiting for this moment, the final opponent, collecting the components. To end humanity!
And welcome back. It's time to talk about Infinity War and some Black Panther.
You mean this is the film where everybody just turns to ash, right?
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We all fall down.
And then Barry shows up and resets the timeline. It's the best introduction to the DC-MCU crossover ever.
Oh, God. Oh. But yeah, before we get deep into the epicness that is Infinity War that we've been building for freaking since Iron Man 1 10 years ago, you know, we had another Marvel movie this since our last meeting, Black Panther, which, watching this movie, it's so visually like stunning that you don't, I mean, it looks like it's shot in Africa. You don't realize this thing is shot like freaking 30 miles down the road in the middle of Atlanta somewhere.
Yeah, like, I think that's why they have set production.
I mean, the Marvel movie magic has just gotten like on point where it's like, you know, I've seen some of the shooting locations. That looks nothing like that.
When you have billions of dollars, you can do things. All the things, unlimited things. It's almost like you've got the five stones.
Somebody's got some stones.
I bet Stan Lee's got all the stones.
He probably has. Stan Lee is Thanos. You know, of all the people that got turned to ash at the end of the movie.
He is the creator. He is the end.
Oh, man.
He is the all-knowing.
I just thought of something. How fucked up would that be if they, like, you know, they showed Stan turning to ash when, like, everyone else turned to ash.
They could do it, man, with the health issues and stuff like that.
Oh, no, that would that would have been bad. My bad.
I mean, there were already, you know, fucking sobs and, like, you know.
If anybody survived this movie, it was definitely Stan Lee. He, which his cameo, too, in this is hilarious because, you know, I mean, very early on, like, you know, aliens arrive at Earth and, like, all the kids are freaking out on the school bus. And Stan Lee is, like, the school bus driver. He's like, calm down, y'all. Act like you've never seen a spaceship before.
I mean, after enough weird shit has gone down, yeah, I mean, you know.
Which makes it even funnier, too, because after that, you know, whatever, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 cameo, where they kind of confirmed the old rumor that Stan is actually the Watcher, that makes even more sense now that he's like, what, y'all never seen a spaceship before? Calm the fuck down. Because he's an ancient alien.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thanks and good night.
But yeah, just briefly, like, to put it in perspective, when we talked last week, we're talking about during the news, the record-setting growth of this movie. Black Panther
growth
came out.
Or gross?
Both. I mean, Black Panther came out
in gross growth?
February. Whoa. And has made about $1.5 billion. And it's been out for 3 months at this point. Infinity War has been out for 2 weeks and has made $1.4 billion. It's sitting like $500 million US, $1.4 billion worldwide for something that's been out 2 weeks. I mean, well, that's insane.
I mean, I get it, but I mean, I just saw, you know, a figure that, you know, for 15 minutes of, Robert Downey Jr. in, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming for his 15 minutes of Iron Man presence, like, was like 12 million. So, I mean, you know, 12 million every 15 minutes, shit's adding up, so.
Yeah, cause, hell, he, yeah, the budget on this one was like 300 and something million dollars.
But, dude, I mean, you know.
Half of that probably went to Robert Downey Jr.
You know, when the memes were circulating, you know, and before Infinity War's inception, you know, I kind of thought it was funny because it was like, oh, Infinity Wars, you know, highest gross. And then, you know, it'd be like, Star Wars, hold my beer. And it's like, Star Wars, you know, looking at episode 7 and, yeah, no comparison. I mean, when you've got this many, you know, childhood heroes and, you know, I mean, shit. We've grown up with these characters for the last decade.
Yeah.
So, I mean
these are going to be... It's probably going to be a record that's going to be steady for a while. The only thing that might blow this record is when, you know, Avengers 4 comes out. Whatever the untitled sequel to Infinity War is.
Is that where Thanos snaps his finger and it's like this never happened?
Which is funny. I mean, we'll get into the details of the movie, you know, as we go. But... Yeah, like I said, everyone who's seen it now know how it ends because this is the Empire Strikes Back of Marvel films. It ends on the down note of Thanos wins, snaps his finger, wipes out half the galaxy. There was a line of kids, and by kids, I mean like 18, 19-year-old kids that apparently never read a comic book in their life and don't realize that all the people that died have confirmed sequels coming out in the next year or two. So I'm pretty sure they're not, like, you know, actually dead.
But that'll be one of the things. It'll be, this was set, you know, in a timeline prior to the events of Infinity War.
But like, in, like, the Infinity Gauntlet comic book, this is exactly what happened. Thanos snapped his finger, wiped everybody out. The surviving Avengers gets the glove back, and somebody snaps their fingers and undoes it all. Like I said, there's Spider-Man Homecoming Part 2 coming out like next year. I'm like, and there's a whole another Guardians movie scheduled. So pretty sure, with the exception of the people who were killed prior to the snap, I'm pretty sure those people are fucking dead.
Well,
I'm pretty sure can come back from this.
I will basically say that if you were a character introduced, you know, for your first time during Infinity, you're permanently dead. Like, yeah. You know.
But...
You better go ahead and take another acting gig.
This group of kids that was behind us in theaters absolutely lost their shit at that ending. They were like, one kid was like, oh my god, I can't believe they just fucking killed everybody. Fuck this movie. I hope I wrap my car around a tree on the way home and die. I'm like, dude, calm down. Everyone's probably going to come back. But now that I think about it, you're right. This has been going on for 10 years, so... You know, I was like 30 when all this stuff started, but these people were like 9.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't this are not is familiar who they grew with, up with you know, the Infinity War comic book or any of this other shit. And probably aren't like us where we know like the next 8 movies in line. We're like, yeah, they're coming back because this person's confirmed for this movie. But
you gotta remember too, you know, and this is a big thing that I keep going back to is it's now popular to be a nerd and to like, you know, superhero movies and stuff like that. When you and I were growing, that was not popular. You know, I mean, you were ridiculed, you were picked on, and well, I mean, I really wasn't because I was like, that kid looks like he could kick my ass. I probably want to make friends with that person. So, I mean, you know, I pretty much ran with the crew that, you know, it's like, you probably don't want to fuck with me or, you know, so I mean, I guess I didn't have too many worries, but I mean, there was absolutely, you know, it's now trendy.
Yeah. Look, Black Panther made $1.4 billion. You really think he's going to be dead? No, there's going to be at least 3 more freaking Black Panther movies. Calm your tits. But these people are like,
really, Joe?
People are losing their shit. I mean, there was people, you know, it's about, I'd say 90% of the people in a Marvel movie always wait to see the after credit scene. No, there was like a big group of people that like got up and like just walked the fuck out as soon as the ending was over. I was like, y'all are stupid.
You don't know how this works. You don't know how any of this works.
I'm like, rookies. Oh, but yeah, this movie, started off with pretty much directly from the end of Thor Ragnarok, where, like, you know, at the end of Ragnarok, we see them, like, getting stopped by big-ass spaceship, and then we find out, oh, yeah, that was Thanos. Because it starts off with, like, just space and, like, a distress call from, like, this is the, you know, Asgardian refugee ship. We are unarmed. Please help us. And then you just see, like, freaking destruction and, you know, Thanos just beating the shit out of everybody. And when Thor gets put down like a bitch, you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
But I did love Loki, like, trying to, like, pull some shenanigans and be like, and they're like, I have an army. You were beaten at Asgardian. What do you have? And he's like, we have a Hulk. Which is the same thing Tony pulled on him back in the day. Yeah. And the Hulk, like, Hulk hits him, and it's like, oh shit. Thanos is, like, happened. Boxing with the Hulk and, like, knocks him the fuck out. And it's like, oh, we are fucked. And, Heimdall, getting his ass kicked, you know, uses, like, the last bit of his energy to teleport Hulk back to Earth kind of as a warning to tell, you know, the Avengers what's coming for him before he gets whacked and before Loki gets his neck snapped. But that was another thing, is like the Hulk being a bitch through the rest of the movie and being like, you know, Banner's like, come on, buddy. He's like, no. And like turns to the Hulk for a second. He's like, no. And goes back. He's like, it's the first time Hulk has ever felt pain. It's the first time anyone has ever beat his ass. He's like, I ain't fucking with this dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... I don't know. It's kind of funny. I mean,
either that or Mark Ruffalo was just like, hey, guys, I'm tired of being a CGI guy. Can I do some acting in this movie? I'll be another red CGI guy. I want to be on screen more.
Should have put him in a red coat. but yeah, I mean, you know, I guess you don't want, you know, erectile Hulk dysfunction or something. You
know? Yeah. He needs some gamma Viagra to get his Hulk up because... He's kind of being a little bitch now.
But yeah, that I mean, I don't know. It was definitely a cool take. I mean, I don't know. As I go down the roster, I mean, I guess my biggest thing is, one, the films have been too successful, so you're right. Nobody is permanently gone. I mean, you know, Marvel and Disney aren't going to let that shit happen.
With the exception of the people that died before the finger snap, I'm pretty sure those people are dead. But everyone who went ashes to ashes, I'm pretty sure we're going to see return at some point.
Oh, yeah. If it was any big name star in the last 5 years, they're coming back.
Yeah, especially T'Challa. Like I said, he made too much money on the first Black Panther movie. And there was another thing, like, it's kind of a small... I mean, we spent a lot of time in Wakanda in this movie. At the end of Black Panther, you know, he gives that speech to the... I mean, that was one thing they introduced, like, his sister, Suri, who is like the... She's like the Q from James Bond. Like, Black Panther felt very James Bond to me, almost. In time, especially like some of the car chases and his little gadgets and whatnot. But, you know, he starts off the movie in the traditional Black Panther suit that we saw in Civil War. But then his sister is like, hey, check out these upgrades. Like, I've got these necklaces that basically your suit is built out of nanites now, and the whole suit can fold up into a necklace. So all you got to do is kind of think and the suit appears. And then at the end of the movie, when he goes to, because at this point, Wakanda's been super secret organization. We don't let the outside world know about vibranium and what we do here. We're very isolationist. But he comes to the UN and is like, hey, we're going to open up Wakanda. We're going to educate people. We're going to provide aid. We're going to be a bigger part of the world. And everybody's like, you know, what is a bunch of, like, you know, farmers going to do for the world? Because no one knows, like, the real Wakanda. Well, then you see Tony Stark, and he is employed a new arc reactor, you know, because, like, whatever, Iron Man 3, he got the surgery, removed the arc reactor. He doesn't have to, it's in the suit now. It doesn't have to be part of him, but he's, you know, we see him jogging with Pepper, and he's got, like, a new arc reactor in his chest. And he's like, well, you know, I feel threats are coming, so I had to have a surgery and upgrade my shit. Well, when he first suits up, now his suit is, like, a nanite suit. So I'm like, did he call up T'Challa's, did T'Challa hook Tony up with some science? Because that's a very Black Panther-esque yes. Iron Man suit you have there. And I did like his like morphing nanite weapons where pretty much like the suit changes to, you know, do whatever he needs it to do. It's very Swiss Army knife Iron Man suit at this point. It just kind of like, you know, turns into whatever he needs at the time.
But, I mean, you know, we kind of saw that, too, with, you know, the upgraded, you know, Spider-Man suit and stuff. And, you know, even the Hulkbuster armor, you know, looked like it got an upgrade, too. So, I mean...
Yeah, since, you know, Banner was needed some Hulk Viagra when it comes to fight time, they're like, why don't you, like, break out the Hulkbuster suit? That's the closest we can get to, like, you know, having a Hulk is Robo-Hulk. I do like him the first time in the suit. He's like, whoa, you know what? This is... I see why Tony loves this now. He was having a blast.
Like Mega Hulkazilla or something, you know?
Yeah, because like, he usually has to go to sleep when the Hulk's doing his thing. He doesn't get to like be the one kicking ass. But now he's like, this is fucking awesome. This is like the first time he's been able to whoop ass on his own.
Yeah, normally he's just left broken and shaken. Like, what's happened?
I need new pants. Yeah. Shit my pants, they gave me new pants.
I had a Hulk moment earlier. I ripped my pants all to shit.
Oh.
It was not pretty. It was not pretty. Now I gotta buy new pants.
Too much road food?
Nah.
Did you eat some more of that, you know, weird meat jerky?
No, but we got a big bundle of it over there.
Do we have any, like, you know, Wakandan... I don't know, some like, you know, rhino jerky or something that we can eat to go with this episode.
Maybe. I mean, we definitely have an infinity gauntlet.
We get a snapper.
Yeah, I don't know what Thanos' problem is. I mean, I got all the fucking stones.
That's one thing, too. I was like, I saw a meme that I was like, you know, that makes sense. He's like, well, the galaxy's overpopulated and under-resourced, so I've got to snap my fingers and wipe out half the galaxy. We're like... You know, you have the Reality Stone. You can just create things out of thin air. Why don't you just snap enough resources in to support the galaxy as it is? And you wouldn't have to kill everybody. But then again, that's one thing about... I'd like in a bad guy is a bad guy who thinks he's the good guy. It makes it infinitely more interesting for it not to be just like, I'm a terrorist and I want to destroy the world. To Thanos, he is the good guy. You know, he's like, you know, I'm doing this to... Y'all think it's... Because he even has that conversation with Gamora at one point. Because he was like... And it shows like Gamora as a child and Thanos coming to destroy her planet and he wipes out half the planet and then kind of adopts her as his daughter, but, you know, kind of his like, you know, slave runner. I mean, she's like, you wiped out half my planet. He's like, have you been to that planet recently? It's thriving. Like, what I'm doing works. It may be kind of a rash fix for the problem, but it works. I saved that planet. It's a freaking utopia now because I killed half the population.
Thanos, the world's greatest results-driven marketer there ever was.
And you kind of see that in any, like, sci-fi movie where there's, like, a huge alien attack or a disease or something that wipes out vast quantities of the population, where all the governments who have bickered and competed for years have to come together and like unite as a planet if they want to survive. And it's kind of what Thanos is doing to people. So, you know, it's weird when you present a villain who is like, you can't argue with his results. I mean, his methods are a little fucked up, but
you battle with the morality aspect of it.
But to him, he is not the villain of the story.
You know? And I mean, I kind of like,
you know, with Black Panther, with, you know, when Warmonger, you know, a Killmonger freaking tries to take over Wakanda, you know, he wants to use Wakanda's resources and, weapons to rule the world, to make it a better world. Cause he's like, my people, you know, not just Wakandans, but, you know, African-American, you know, where like, you know, are, you know, have not been able to rise up. Let me give them the technology and the weapons so they can rise up and we can make a better world for us. You know, to him, he, like I said, wasn't a bad guy in his own mind. And like I said, we kind of get that with Thanos as well. This isn't just somebody wanting to rule the galaxy. He's to him, he's trying to save it, and this
and he does what it takes. You know, I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due, because you know, it's not like he picks and chooses. He's just like, you know, it's going to be random selection and boom, you know, done. I mean, you know, it's not like you know, oh, I'm taking out only the people that rub me the wrong way. So, I mean, you know, it kind of takes out the selfish.
You're kind of like Samuel Jackson in The First Kingsman. He's like, I'm going to wipe out this huge breath of the population to save the planet. But for him, it was like, I'm picking and choosing the best candidate, so it's going to be, you know, my people who are going to survive, you know, and whoever's like, you know, pays me the most money and whatnot. But with Thanos, it's really like, there's no malice in what he's doing. He's like, no, just half of y'all are gone. Peace out. I'm going to go to my cabin in whatever planet's woods this is and watch the sunset and chill, drink Mai Tais, whatever. My job is done.
Eat some Tide Pods.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so I don't know. The cynic in me, you know, it's like, yep, we need a purge. But, you know, then
the older
again,
you get, the more those purge movies make sense.
But then again, it's like, you know, I mean, do you really get to play, you know, the role of creator, destructor, and everything else? I mean, you know, so. I don't know. It's definitely interesting, you know, 22.
Oh, yeah, because, and like this movie just from the beginning was kind of in a weird spot, because we've known the stones have been scattered throughout the galaxy. You know, when he starts off kicking Thor's ass, he already has the Power Stone from Guardians 1. And Thor makes the comment, like, when he runs into the, because the Guardians show up, they hear his distress call and show up to, like, see if they can help, but the ship's all blown up and Thor's, you know, floating through space. I feel like they pull him in. They're like, he's like, you know, a pirate angel, because he's got, you know, one eye or whatever. They're like, he is really like freaking, yeah. Rocket's calling him pirate, and freaking Quill's getting like super jealous because everyone is like, no, this is a real man. He's like, shut up, I'm a real man too. But you know, he makes something like, oh yeah, they already wiped out the freaking Nova Corps like last week and got the Power Stone, and now he has the Tesseract, so he can pretty much, you know, warp himself wherever he wants. But yeah, let's break it down to the groups. We get like at least like three distinct like teams of Avengers going on in this one, like, and there's almost like three separate stories going on throughout this movie.
It's the Guardians meet Black Panther meets Avengers. And that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Is that not what you had in mind? Was that not it at all? Not even in the slightest? All right.
So we start with Earth Team 1, which freaking Thor, or Hulk, when he gets teleported to Earth, falls through the roof of the Sanctum Sanctorum and meets old Wong and Doctor Strange. And then he's like, fucking Thanos is coming. They're like, okay, big green guy fall through our sky. We're about to go get some Thai food, but let me go talk to this, you know, Stark guy, and because Tony still has his, like, you know, old school flip phone to call Cap if they need him. So, you know,
hold on, can I pause you right there? Yeah. Mid thought. So, to me, I had very much a Game of Thrones feel, because here you have, you know, fucking John. Winter is coming. Hero's all about Thanos is coming. Like, I battled with that, and I was like, wait a second, this is a somber movie.
But yeah, freaking Doctor Strange pops out, and you know, he had met Thor, but this is the first time I think he's met Tony, and like pops out and like, Mr. Stark, I got a buddy of yours back at my house talking about some alien shit. You may want to come check this out. And, you know, and then he gets the whole Thanos is coming speech or whatnot, and of course, like, you know, Thanos's homeboys arrive to try to get Doctor Strange's time stone, and you know, you get Tony's first like suit up in the new suit moment, but Hulk like refusing to come out. And he's just like, I'm having trouble getting it up, guys. And he's like, yeah, like, y'all protect him. We're going to have to, like, fight these, like, alien guys. And he's like, calls the one dude. He's like, yo, Squidward, back the fuck up. So you got the team of Tony, Doctor Strange, and for a minute, Banner, until he goes off to join Earth Team 2. And then, of course, Spider-Man's on a, you know, field trip and sees, like, the giant spaceship space donut landing. And is like, I gotta go figure out what this is going on. And shows up as Tony and Strange are fighting these freaking aliens. And I love it when he, like, shows up because, like, freaking Strange has got knocked the fuck out and his like, cape is trying to get him out of there. He's like, what's going on, Mr. Stark? Oh, I'm just, fighting aliens with a couple wizards that are trying to, like, these aliens are trying to get some stones. We're fighting off some wizards. And he's like, okay, y'all playing some Dungeons and Dragons out here or something?
Yes.
And then, like, you see Strange go for, like, there goes one of the wizards. Catch him, kid. And he's like, on it, Mr. Stark. Goes after Doctor Strange. And then gets, like, sucked into the spaceship. So Tony has to, like, go after him. But he catches up to him and he's like, time to go home, kid. And, like, gives him the Iron Spider suit, which apparently has also been, like, nanited.
And hidden, and...
Yeah, so he's like, here, this'll... Because he's like, the air's getting a little thin up here. And he's like, here, take this, go home. And he's like, fuck this, I'm staying. But then when he gets into the ship and he's like, didn't I tell you to go home? He's like, well, this new suit is very, like, it's a little hard to control. I thought about going home, but then it just locked onto the ship and I don't know. And he's like, whatever, kid. And he's like... But then they're trying to rescue Strange. He's like, how are we going to fight this alien? And, from back in Civil War, it's like, hey, you guys in this old movie called, like, Empire Strikes Back? He's like, hey, y'all see this old movie called Aliens? And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
Goddamn kid. And they blow the hole and suck Squidward out of the spaceship and take over the spaceship. But the scene is because, like, I've seen the Iron Spider suit and the... I've seen it in some of the comics, but I've seen it in the Spider-Man animated series, which I love. But when they get sucked out of the ship and he goes and has to, like, grab Strange to keep him from getting sucked out of the ship, and the legs deploy, and I'm like, holy shit, it is the Iron Spider suit. That was the part of the thing I was like, fuck yes, Iron Spider.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So who's our Earth Team 2?
Well, that, and then they have that moment too.
Nope, no moments.
Where, Tony and Strange are talking about, like, hey, we should go back to Earth and stuff. And he's trying to get the kid to leave. And he's like, but hey, he's like, dude, I can't be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man if there's no neighborhood left. And then he finally's like, oh, fuck it. All right, kid, you're an Avenger. And gives him, like, the shoulder taps like he's being knighted. And you can see him, like, get super proud for a second. Then be like, oh, God, I'm going to an alien country and I may die. And he's like, you see kind of on his face,
what have,
like,
I signed up for?
I want to be super excited because I'm finally an Avenger, but oh, fuck, this is getting serious. I might die now.
Don't worry, he doesn't die.
Yet. Oh. But then you have Earth Team 2, which is the Avengers that have been on the run since the end of the Civil War of... Cap and Scarlet Witch and Black Widow. And apparently Ant-Man and Hawkeye decided to retire, and apparently they had family, so they took a deal that they wouldn't get involved in shit anymore, but I'm sure they'll pop up at some point somewhere. Other aliens show up trying to take Vision's stone, and of course they kick their ass and go back to see Rhodey, who is now, since Stark and them took off on the ship. Banner was kind of left behind, but at least Tony left him the cell phone so he can call Cap. So they all meet back up, and it was like, well, we got to get this Infinity Stone out of his head before Thanos takes it. I know some science guys in Wakanda. We should go to Wakanda. They might be able to help us. And so now you bring in Black Panther, all his people, and his super science sister, Shuri. But I did like... When they kind of get the call to, like, hey, T'Challa, we're coming, we need some backup. He left Bucky there for them to, like, fix his mind, and he's been, like, chilling, and, they call him, like, the White Wolf or something like that.
Yes.
So he's like, his sister's like, I don't know, he's kind of finally at peace. Do you really think he's going to want to fight? he's like, you know, I'm kind of sorry I have to do this to him, but, you know, it's time for the White Wolf to go to war. And they show up, and he's like, I brought you something. And he opens up the case, and it's like a pimped out vibranium, like brand new, like arm. And he's like, who are we going to war with, King? He's like, well, you have some old friends on the way. They'll explain it when they get it. But he's like, as soon as he's like, y'all want me to kick ass again. All right, let's do this. You know, if Cap's in trouble, and I kind of owe y'all my life at this point, so, yeah. Take off the robes. It's time to go back to war. I'm now the summer soldier instead of the winter soldier, because it's hot as balls in Africa.
Summer is coming.
Summer is coming. Oh. But I think my favorite of the three teams is the Guardians and Thor.
Well, I mean, like, that was probably the most dynamic of the groups.
Or specifically when that team splits off and you have the main Guardians going to the Collector's place to try to find the Reality Stone before Thanos can take it. And Thor, Rocket, and Groot go to the dwarves to rebuild Thor's hammer since his hammer has been destroyed. Yeah, he's like, and Thor assumes Rocket is the captain. He's like, hey, I'm the captain now. So me and the pirate angel here are going to go get his god killer weapon while y'all go try to stop Thanos. And they take the shuttle or whatnot.
But I mean, even before that, I mean, I think I just like the dynamic of, you know, fucking Star-Lord and, you know, feeling so inferior, you know, next to Thor. And,
yeah,
you know, he's trying to, you know, like, that is the epitome of small man syndrome.
And he meets the same, too, when he meets, like, Stark and Strange later. He's like, no, I'm a badass, but I love
tries like so hard to over justify himself, and it's like
yeah, but I love the dynamic of Thor and Rocket, and he's like Rabbit, he calls him Rabbit the whole time.
Well, and I mean, you know, what are you doing? This dude's big as shit and muscular, and you know, like
oh, and moody teenage Groot, yes, constantly playing like a video game, but. I because like Thor is like he's lost his brother, he's lost his world, he's lost his hammer. Hell, he's even lost his eye. Someone who is always like, I'm a god and I'm super confident in my own powers. Kind of like Hulk, this is the first time he's kind of been shaken, and he's starting to like, you know, he's like, well, I've already lost all these things. What else do I have to lose except my life? And Rocket's like, I kind of got a lot to lose myself. But he's like, you know, Rocket's fine. Like, fine, I'm pretending to be the captain. Got to be the captain now. And Rocket, you know, has that like kind of heart-to-heart speech with Thor. And it's like, you see Rocket, you know, go from being like the wise-ass asshole to like a leadership position.
Yes.
Which is odd to see to Rocket thrown into that. And then you get the giant dwarf or the dwarf giant, which Peter Dinklage playing like a 20-foot-tall dwarf was just so odd and hilarious.
But it worked. I don't know, but I'm definitely with you. You know, the Thor Rocket, you know,
and even Groot, who is, you know, kind of been like, you know, a moody teenager. He even kind of steps up too, because you know the thing is wrecked. They have to restart the Star Forge that runs off a star, but the thing that holds open the forge so the light can come through and heat the thing is broken. So Thor has to hold it open. So he's taking the power of a laser beam of a sun going through him and getting burned all to shit. You know, and you know, but the dwarf's like, once we finish the hammer, it will restore him, because it, you know, is kind of like his old hammer. It has powers. But he's like, all right, I built the thing. Fuck, where's the handle? I gotta get the handle. And Groot is like, I got this. Makes a handle out of his arm and like, you know, completes the Thor's hammer, which he picked up the hammer.
Yes.
Groot is worthy. I don't know if the new hammer has the same contingencies that Mjolnir had, but if it does, he lifted the hammer. Because he even says to Rocket, he's like, oh, you couldn't handle this hammer. It would like, you would go insane from trying to absorb the power of this weapon. Only a god can wield it. And like Groot's like, it's my arm. Here you go. I'm Groot. And when they show up in the final battle with, you know, because the last Infinity Stone is still in the Vision. So they all show up to Wakanda, and very Star Wars Episode One with the giant shield around it and two armies fighting under a shield. But when you know, as they're about to lose, here comes Thor and Rocket and Groot. And in some of those scenes that are, even though it's like this life or death battle, some of those scenes just cracked me up where Groot is like taking out aliens right and left, and they see Cap and he's like, oh, hello, Cap. This is my friend. He's a tree. He's like, I am Groot. And he's like, I am Steve Rogers.
Yes.
And then Winter Soldier and Rocket, when they're like getting surrounded, and he just picks him up and is holding him, and Rocket's blasting, and he's like dual wielding with like Rocket and like his gun. And at the end of it, like Rocket's like, that's a pretty sweet gun. How much you want for it? He's like, it's not for sale. What about that arm? That's not for sale either. He's like, oh, I'm going to get that arm. Because that was like ever since like Guardians and Rocket's fascination with stealing people's prosthetics, there's been that whole like meme, like they're going to show up and Rocket's like, I got a plan, but I'm going to need that guy's arm. Yeah. And they make that joke. I'm like, it's true.
No, they probably surfed in. All right, we got to tie this in. This is too great. And I, you know, I mean, I guess that's the beauty of pop culture, you know, I mean, with so many people coming up with creative ideas and, you know, stuff going viral, and next thing you know, there it is on the big screen.
Oh.
It's good synergy, man.
Yeah. But you go back to Earth Team 1 of Tony Strange and Spider-Man, they're kind of stuck on the alien ship, like, well, this is going wherever it's going, and it's going to apparently Thanos' homeworld. Well, the Guardians have went to... Apparently the only one who knows where the Soul Stone is Gamora. So they show up at nowhere, and oh, it's too late. Thanos has already got it. He's, you know, and he snatches her, and they go off to find the Soul Stone, which that was another scene where it's like, in Thanos' mind, he's not a bad guy. Because he's tortured the shit out of, what's her name? Gamora's sister, Nebula.
Yeah.
To get Gamora to tell him where the stone is. And when they get there, Red Skull from Captain America Civil War, and he's been kind of converted into this Grim Reaper looking character having to guard the stone, and he can't get it because he tells him, he's like, you have to sacrifice the one thing you love to get the stone. And Gamora's all like, ha ha, you're never going to get the stone because you don't love anything. You're just this mean bastard who kills half the galaxy. And he's like, oh, I'm sad. And he's crying. He's like, oh, you're crying because you can't get your stone? And Red Skull's like, no, child, he's crying for you. Because he did actually love her, despite yes. his own twisted, you know, ideas about it all. You know, he actually did love Gamora and is like, you're here to be sacrificed. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I'm getting the fucking stone.
But I mean, that just, you know, that just goes back to, you know, your original point that, you know, he's willing to sacrifice the, you know, the one thing that he loves most, you know, for this cause. And, you know, like, it's like the most selfishly unselfish thing. like you said earlier, you know, it's always interesting when you can rationalize with the villain. I mean, it's almost like not even a villain, you know, maybe just an anti-hero. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, because I don't know. I mean, you look at the Avengers and some of the mistakes and the collateral damage and, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, they haven't escaped without blood on their hands.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very you know, Ultron, you know, you go back to Age of Ultron. He was like, this is the one way to save the world is to wipe out humanity. Humanity's a virus. And, you know, where he was concerned with just saving the Earth, because that was what Tony had programmed him to do, you know, Thanos is pretty much doing the same thing on a larger scale. He's like, yeah, not just humanity, but half of everything has to go. It's definitely kind of interesting when your bad guy's not 100% like a bad guy. even Loki, is kind of a bag of squirrels. He's so nutty, but to him, he kind of came back and was like, at least in Ragnarok and at the start of this movie, was trying to be a decent dude. Kind of didn't work out for him because he still got his neck snapped, but
but Loki's already died twice. He's not really dead.
True, they could always bring you, because even Thor is like, my brother's died before. I'm not 100% sure he's gone for good, because he's a squirrely bastard.
Might be the ultimate trick of the trickster god. I don't know.
He didn't take my head. There can be only one. He doesn't get the quickening. He just got the Tesseract. And then that, when the Guardians and Nebula wind up on Titan, because they figure that's where, Thanos is going to show up eventually, because he still has to get Doctor Strange's stone, because his people couldn't get it out of the Eye of Agamotto. So they're like, well, we're going to use this as a trap to lure him in. And I love that Strange is like sitting there like, is your buddy okay? Because he's kind of twitching out over here. And he's like, all right, I've looked at the future. I've seen how this plays out like 14 million ways. How many of those did we win in? Just one. And I felt like saying, I was like waiting for somebody to make the Han Solo reference, never tell me the odds.
Yes.
In that moment, I was like, this is the perfect moment for a freaking Han Solo reference. But nobody did it. But, as we've seen in some of the previous movies, where Tony was almost the bad guy in Age of Ultron. And there really wasn't kind of like Cap's ego and Tony's ego was like the bad guys in Civil War. But in this one, you could kind of make the argument that Star-Lord is the fucking villain of this movie, because they catch Thanos. They've got him freaking Mantis does like the mind mojo on him, and Iron Man and Spider-Man have almost got the glove off. And then he realized that he killed Gamora, because Mantis is like, he's sad, and fucking Quill loses his shit and goes and has to punch him and wake him up, and then he kicks everybody's ass and takes the Infinity Stone. But at the same time, Strange, who had already said if it comes to saving your life or protecting the stone, my duty is the stone. I will not hesitate to let all you motherfuckers die to stop Thanos. And then he's like, no, here, take the stone, just don't kill him. And then later on, finger snap, everybody starts turning to ash. Before Strange turns to ash, he looks at Tony and is like, I'm sorry, Tony, but this was the only way. So I think them losing this battle, Strange already seeing that
it was one thing that needed to happen in order to...
Kind of like when Coulson died in the first Avengers, and he says to Fury, he's like, don't worry, they needed something to bring them together as a team. It's kind of like mirrored that. This is I think without flat out saying it, this was Strange's way. It's like, we had to lose to win. Like, this had to happen before we can defeat Thanos. And so even though you think Peter fucked it all up, maybe it was supposed to be fucked up. this was the one path to victory.
But that was kind of the... I lean more toward, what you're saying. Like we talked about earlier, Thanos, not really greedy, not really choosing, and like you said, absolutely loved Gamora, unconditionally.
Yeah.
Here you have the human elements and, human nature and free will and, you got Star-Lord's ego, and masculinity, and his stupid, I've got to, try to avenge, her death and, be the hero. Well, all right, there's greed,
Yeah.
Then you have, I guess about the only one of the group that is, relatively innocent would be, Peter Parker. Fucking teenage kid caught in the...
And I love the fact, too, during that fight before that, life or death moment, he's still having a blast. His like unbridled, like, I'm having fun being a hero, even in the worst situations, always cracks me up, especially when Strange is opening the portals and he's hopping in and out of portals, like fighting Thanos. It's hilarious. He's like, magic, magic, magic with a kick. Like, that cracked me up so bad.
So I don't know. I mean, I think a purge had to happen to, you know, get everybody on the same page and, you know, stop the, you know, basically the, well, I've got to be the better hero.
Yeah.
You know, because there was a lot of, you know,
because even
and
Tony,
fighting and competing and,
yeah,
you know, and that's kind of, you know, the flaw to, you know, Robert Downey Jr., you know, Iron Man, you know, is always, oh, I'm smarter, I'm better, I'm more sophisticated, and no, get on my level, ho.
Yeah, because even Tony, at the start, when, like, you know, Banner's like, you need to call Cap, we need all the Avengers to face this, he's like, ah, me and Cap's not really talking. You know, and he's like,
fuck it, make the call.
Yeah. So he's like, dude, like, you can't let your ego, we're going to need everyone for this. This is an all hands on deck type situation. And, you know, and he hesitates to make that call. And I mean, he is just broken at the end of this film. Cause, you know, even though, like, you know, cause pretty much it's just him and Nebula alone on Titan. And he even said to Peter in Homecoming, like, you're the one death I don't want on my conscience, kid. Like, I brought you into this, even though you're way too fucking young. Don't die and put that guilt on me. And then what happens when everyone starts turning to dust? You know, Peter's like, I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. And then, and he's just like, yeah, freaking just broken. So it's like, oh, Tony's going to be like fucking balls to the wall in the next movie. Like, he's going to go like full rate. He's going to go full Hulk.
You think so? Or is he going to have Hulk dysfunction syndrome?
He can't get my,
you know, where he's just going to, you know, be a fucking, you know, depressed alcoholic, you know. I once was this great, you know, superhero, and, you know, I failed.
Because it was kind of like, you know, in Age of Ultron, where he was like, the vision Scarlet Witch gave him of all the Avengers being dead. It's kind of come to fruition, at least for him, because he doesn't know who survived on Earth. And that was another thing, too, because, like, I knew this, you know, even though they're not calling it Infinity War Part 2, that, you know, people, this is definitely going to be, like, a second half to this movie, and we're going to lose a bunch of people. But I didn't, you know, and since, like, you know, Chris Evans says he's gone after the next one, Robert Downey Jr.'s contracts are up, we don't know if he's coming back for more. So I kind of expected the OG Avengers to get dusted. But no, it's pretty much like wiped out all the new guys, and it's back to like the original five plus Rocket. It's like Rocket, Nebula, anyone else who's been introduced after like the first Avengers movie is toast.
Well, that's kind of
back to the OG five.
Like, you know, when the film started and they started introducing all of these lesser known characters and stuff like that, and it's like, yeah, you're just filler. You're toast. Like, I mean, that was the only thing that I was like, you know, really, like, but then again, I mean, money talks, and, you know, they're not going to let some of these big stars stay dead.
I mean, we didn't see T'Challa's sister turn to ash, so I'm wondering if she's going to, like, pick up the mantle of Black Panther in the next one until they get the gauntlet back and snap everybody back into reality. Either that or the general of his army. That girl, I think in the comic book, she has been Black Panther at a time. So maybe she's like, cause she survived. So maybe she's like going to be Black Panther in part two until they get T'Challa back.
I don't know. I mean, then again, this could just be, you know, one of the many plausible ways that, you know, this battle could have went. And, you know, it was just one possibility.
This is one of Strange's simulations.
And it's not really, you know, a real thing. Wouldn't that just be a mind fuck? Like,
I tell you the one thing that when they're trying to pull the glove off of Thanos, I'm like, Tony, you have a laser in your suit that like cuts through freaking armor plating like it's butter. Cut the motherfucker's arm off. Don't pull the glove. Just slice the damn hand off. You can pull the severed hand out of the glove probably easier than you can pull like an entire Thanos out of the glove. Chop that motherfucker's arm off. Like it's like the simplest answer. It's like, we gotta pull it off. Chop that motherfucker's arm off. Go Captain Hook on his ass.
Don't bite the hand that feeds.
Even when Thanos shows up and takes, freaking Wanda has to sacrifice Vision to keep this, to destroy the stone. And Thanos is like, oh, child, you forget I got a time stone now. Let me reverse this, bring him back to life, and then I'll kill him and take the fucking stone. But then Thor's axe comes out of nowhere and just buries it in his chest. And then like he runs up and just shoves it the rest of the way. And Thanos is like, you should have aimed for the head, and then snaps his finger. For a second there, I thought he said, you should have aimed for the hand. Because again, cut his arm off. You've got a big axe. It's going to be a whole lot. Man can't snap a finger if he doesn't have hands. That's all I'm saying. Like, y'all should have thought about this better.
I still got this one.
No, that was a left-handed glove. It would have been real hard to put that on his right hand. He was straight Michael Jackson, that shit. It was a one-sided glove.
But yeah, I don't know. You know, for as serious and as intense as it was, I mean, there was a lot of... It's not that serious and it's not that intense.
Yeah, as high as the stakes were in this movie, there were still plenty of like just hilarious moments. Like I said, the back and forth between Rocket and Thor and Rocket and Winter Soldier and, you know, Groot having the time of his life. And then like Peter's all his like boasting and shit where he's like, you know, Tony tells him plan. He's like, all right, that's a great plan, except it sucks. How about we do my plan so it doesn't suck? Mm-hmm. And then Spider-Man, you know, friggin' magic with a kick. I mean, it definitely had like these great like comedic moments to release the tension.
Which is what you've come to expect from, you know, a Marvel film.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, and we talked about it, you know, during Ragnarok. You know, that was the first Thor movie that, you know, it was enjoyable. Like, you know, it wasn't the typical, you know, Thor. It had some of the comedic elements. I mean, it was basically, you know, all right, we've got to loosen Thor up because we've got to introduce him to the Guardians and we need his dynamic to mesh with theirs. So, yeah. I mean...
And I'll tell you one thing, too, with all this. I've been watching this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I was wondering how they were going to tie all this in, because in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., everyone assumes S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone. There really is no S.H.I.E.L.D. because the main core agents have been, they were in the future for a while, and now they're back, and they're trying to stop this thing they see in the future where half the world is, like, the world is just shattered. But, like, the last couple episodes, it's obviously taking place while Infinity War is taking place, because every once in a while they'll like something pop up on the TV and they're like, you know, destruction in New York, and they're like, oh, what the hell's going on? And these aliens that they've been dealing with is like, oh, we like the Mad Titan Thanos is coming for y'all, and they're gonna wipe out your planet if we don't protect you. And so I'm waiting to see, like, you know, if at the season finale, which is as they're recording this next week, if they some people turn to ash in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the end.
Well, I think what you see is absolutely that, you know, same snippet, the extra credit scene that shows, you know, basically Nick Fury and
Maria Hill,
you know, disintegrating.
And he pulls out the freaking high-tech pager.
So, I mean,
one man still carrying a pager.
So that'll be our introduction into Captain Marvel.
Yeah, because it was one thing, too. You know, we'll get into like theories of what the next movie holds, because we know
where the fuck is Hawkeye.
Well, the next two movies take place prior to or simultaneously within Infinity. We know the Captain Marvel introduction movie takes place supposedly in the 90s that they've set it in, or at least and then I'm assuming the Ant-Man Wasp takes place just prior to or simultaneously with this movie. Because from their trailers, we've not seen any kind of references to Infinity War. But yeah, as they're kind of rushing through New York and seeing, they're like, Maria's talking to them, like, you know, they're saying that, you know, we've got detections of portals and stuff over Wakanda. It's like more powerful than like the New York stuff. And then all of a sudden people start, you know, ashing and whatnot. And he's like, well, get on the control. Tell him, you know, code red or whatever. To them, S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone. So who is this control? Who is Fury working for now? And has he built like a whole new agency? And I know from like the comic books, there was a counterpart to S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. was basically Homeland Security for the planet. And then there was another like secret organization called, I believe it was S.W.O.R.D., that was like basically space defense for the planet. And Captain Marvel worked for that other agency. So I'm wondering if, you know, Maria and Fury are now have started a whole new organization since S.H.I.E.L.D. is, for all intents and purposes, no longer a thing. And we're going to find out in the next movie that there, oh yeah, there is this secret organization, much like S.H.I.E.L.D. that is Black Ops dealing with freaking, now that we know aliens exist, dealing with the threat of aliens. Because, you know, as you know, freaking Fury is, Maria's ashing and Fury's starting to ash, he's like dialing his little pager communicator thing there, and it pops up with the Captain Marvel logo.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that something like that is going to have to happen. Because there is, you know, I mean, you've had a decade of growing up with the Avengers. You know, Captain Marvel is, you know, not as known of a character. Especially the people that, you know, have not read comics and are only familiar with, you know, what's been presented to them in the film franchises. So I definitely think that, like you said, you know,
because it's obviously not just Fury by himself, because they are, you know, he's giving orders to call certain people and talk to certain organizations. I'm like, if there was a surviving S.H.I.E.L.D., you would think Coulson had would have connected them once they got back. So I'm thinking he started like his own new organization, you know, or if Coulson's been too busy dealing with some shit since he got back to like find out that, oh, while I was gone, Fury rebuilt S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah, since they're bringing in the Captain Marvel, I'm assuming that they're probably either going to bring in, I believe it was called S.W.O.R.D. or something, or there's going to be some other new, like, new version of S.H.I.E.L.D. that Fury has kind of put together, you know, in his secret dealings, because he's obviously, from that dialogue, not alone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, it can't just center around, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. as we know it. I mean, like you said, you know, there's got to be the interplanetary defense, and hey, shit's a lot bigger than, you know, just the world. So I don't know. I mean, Space Marines.
Hell yeah. He was calling Frank Castle. Oh,
Thanos, you've been bad. Time to be punished.
It's like I saw a meme and it was like all these different colored potions. And it was like, which do you drink? And it was like, drink this to become Iron Man. Drink this to become Black Panther. And the very last one is a bottle of Jack Daniels. Is it drink this to become the Punisher? Yes.
But I mean, you know, that's the other thing too is, you know, I mean, there are a lot of other, you know, big Marvel characters, you know, Punisher, Deadpool, you know, Punisher, Deadpool, Ant-Man, Hawkeye. I mean, all these people, where the fuck were they? You know? So, I mean,
And, you know, there's also, in the comic book version of this, Adam Warlock was a big thing in the final battle with Thanos. And they kind of hinted at him at the end of Guardians 2. So I'm wondering if, you know, he's going to show up in the fourth one, or if they're going to save him for Guardians 3. But, you know, they definitely like had that potential that we could see him, you know, and like, you know, Cap putting together once they figure out what heroes survived besides them, putting together some kind of resistance to get the glove back. So as we kind of wrap this up, any particular highlights that are, or any theories of what's to come next when we get to part two of this?
I think it's all a dream.
It's gonna be a dream.
Nothing is permanent, and that's kind of the downside, you know, is, you know, comic book, you know, they've been too successful, so, you know, it's going to be a massive reset, and, you know, maybe it's not the, you know, maybe, all right, maybe we lose Cap, maybe we lose Iron Man, but I mean, Tom Holland is just coming into his prime. You know, the Guardians have been such a successful franchise and, you know, taking audiences by storm. I mean, we already know that there's a third one, you know, in the works.
And we know there's definitely going to be more Black Panther movies.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, things are almost too big to fail. And, you know, like I said earlier, Disney is not going to... Let's do away with, you know, this character that's generated us billions of dollars.
Yeah, and
you know, I mean, it may not.
Yeah, if you know the comic book, anything that's been done by the glove can be undone by the glove, and you know, in the comic book, I believe it's Nebula that gets the glove and snaps everybody back into reality, and we know she's alive, but then again, we know Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans are supposedly stepping away after the next one. You know, they could die in the final battle, you know, even though they survive, to bring everyone back, and that's one way they write off those characters and move it on to somebody else. Or they may survive and they just recast instead of, you know, killing off the characters and turning the title of Cap over to somebody else, because, you know, Bucky's been Cap, Falcon's been Cap, well, Falcon's Ash, but he could come back and be Cap once they zap everybody back into reality. So, you know, it's still kind of up in arms.
I mean, but then I don't know. I mean, you know, Bucky, Falcon, you know, either one could take over, you know, the Captain America position, like you said. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah, like I said, there's people that can take over, but I really doubt everyone's actually dead that is dead. Vision may be gone, but and I'm pretty sure you know, the Asgardians are all toast at this point, but yeah, but I want to see the Rock guy come back. Yeah, I didn't see a pile of rocks, so I think Core needs to come back. The freaking Rock guy from Thor Ragnarok is one of my favorite new guys. He needs to come back at some point because he is just freaking hysterical. Hey, you guys want to join my revolution? We're gonna go fight Thanos. He becomes the new Cap and leads the new adventure.
So, all right, we'll just throw this out there. Pepper Potts. I mean,
she has been Iron Man in the comic books.
She has had powers, you know, from Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that there's definitely more to her character. I mean... And she was kind of the rationale to, you know... Tony being the, you know, the genius and, you know, her saying, all right, well, let's scale it back to, you know... reality and, yeah. You know, was, I mean, Pepper, kind of his
Pepper
balance.
Has taken up the mantle of Iron Man before. Rhodey has taken up the mantle of Iron Man. So if they do end these characters but want to keep the Iron Man around, there are people who can take over that spot. Or they could just recast. I don't know. I can't think of anybody that I could see as Iron Man now that Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans has done that so well that, you know, they make a new Steve Rogers and Tony Stark, but who knows? We'll see in whatever May of next year.
And, you know, I mean, honestly, we never saw, you know, either Wong or Ned, you know, die. So, yeah. I mean, you know, did they retreat back to the Sanctum and, you know...
Did the magic of the Sanctum protect them? You know, there's definitely, you know, several Avengers unaccounted for or... Avenger adjacent characters that we could see step up.
And
in the
I
next
think
movie.
Another one is Valkyrie. You know?
Yeah, because
the end of Ragnarok.
Asgardian ship blew up, but I mean, if Thor can survive that explosion, you would think other Asgardians could do as well. I mean, Thor can survive floating around in the vacuum of space. He's basically a god, and so are all the other Asgardians. So, you know, even though the ship blew up, there may be some Asgardians still floating around there out in space junk land getting picked up by people.
I don't know. And then also the Collector. I mean, where's that dude been?
I did see an interview with the Russo brothers, and they were like, tell us about like the people that we didn't see, who's alive, who's dead. And they kind of just picked a bunch of random ass characters. And some of them, they're like, spoiler area, we may or may not use them. We can't tell you whether or not they died. But one of the people they confirmed survived was Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck is not dead. They said Lady Sith, super dead. Because we didn't see her in Thor Ragnarok, because apparently she was busy filming something else. They're like, oh no, she's totally dead. We're not going to see her anymore. Which I liked her. I wanted to see, you know, that was one of my hopes, is like, well, yeah, they killed off the Warriors 3. I was hoping Lady Sif would pop back up at some point, but yeah, apparently not.
So, I don't know. Still a lot of speculation, not a whole lot of answers, but I mean, shit's far from over. It's too big to fail.
And they did say Rockman Core. They're like two potential spoilers. We can't confirm or deny their fate. So I want to see them show up and do some more kicking of ass. So as we wrap up, what do you think of this cigar here?
The cigar has been great. You know, I'm kind of kicking myself that I've passed over this thing.
That's one thing about Sindicato cigars. They don't put their label on everything. So you see that most of their stuff has a brand name for that cigar. And unless you like pick it up and look at the back and go, oh, this is a Sindicato cigar, you don't realize it's always a Sindicato. So I'm like, because like the original one just looked way too mild for me. But this one has some good flavor. It's definitely, it's not a powerhouse, but it's definitely strong enough to keep my interest.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was enjoyable. I mean, you know, I got to say, I was far more impressed with it than I thought I would be. And, you know, it's delicious. I would smoke another one.
All right. And with that, we'll be right back.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more. So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
So desperately that you're right, yet to fail all the same. Dread it. Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
Evacuate the city. Engage all defenses. And get this man a shield.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And it's time for Beer 30. Yeah.
Was that?
I've had way too much Strike Force today.
I can absolutely tell. So,
So what are we drinking this week, Brad?
Well, from ashes to ashes and blood red skies and, oh, wait, that's it. We're drinking Blood Red Sky from Innis and Gunn. This is going to be a rum barrel aged red beer. Appropriately fitting. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe we should have did like a ash stout or something. I don't know.
Smoked porter.
Yeah. I mean, that probably would have been more fitting, but I don't know. You know, I mean, since Infinity War took so much, you know, time in Wakanda, I mean, you know, it kind of made me want to be in the Caribbean. So, I mean,
you know, those are like two different continents, right?
Absolutely, I do. But I don't know. They had similar feels, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird too, because I think like Innocent Gun is trying to like Americanize, because back in the day, all their beers did not have fancy names. They pretty much all had the exact same whatever label, and it was like, you know, rum cast, scotch cast. It's like, that was like the only difference was like it was something cast. But now it's like, were putting fancy labels and stuff on the bottle and giving them names like Kindred Spirit and Blood Red Sky. It's, I don't know, they're, now that they're getting like more well known, they're trying to get like all fancy with it and shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is kind of unique. I mean, you know, this is Caribbean. It's Scottish. It's
yeah, it's Scottish red ale aged in Jamaican rum barrels.
But so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a fruit, a vanilla. I mean, but it all comes together and it's good. I mean,
it's definitely different than their regular rum cast. Because Rumcast had very much a more, I don't know, spiced rum flavor to it, or almost like a, I don't know, like a Bacardi-esque aftertaste. Yeah. Where this is, you know, that more like vanilla, like fruitier type of, you know, Caribbean rum flavor to it. I don't know. It's different from, maybe it's because it's a red ale and not their regular beer that's been aged in the Rumcast. So yeah, it definitely gives it like a, it's like a different flavor from their standard rum cast version.
Yeah, I mean, but it is absolutely delicious. You know, one of my goals is to find a, you know, now that spring is over and summer has come here in the Southeast, apparently, you know, I've got to find some lighter, you know, easier, less heavy beers. And
yeah, it's time to go back to the good old fashioned lagers or some Belgians, something a little citrusy.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
citrusy, I don't know if I can go full Leinenkugel. That's just almost too citrusy for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, for me,
some Stella's.
I'm absolutely enjoying this beer. I'm at a 4 out of 5 on this bad boy.
I've not had like an Innocent Gun I don't like. I mean, even their IPA, like, I don't like IPAs, but it wasn't bad. I mean, it was yeah. But yeah, I remember when this was like just a rare import beer that you couldn't find anywhere. Like the only place I could get it was at the cigar shop, and then it just kind of blew up where it's about every liquor store you go into has Innocent Gun now. So it's kind of cool that they're maybe branching out and experimenting a little more. But yeah, even though I make fun of their new fancy names and fancy labels, the beer's still damn good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I mean, the flavor, the aroma, I mean, it's what I expect out of Innocent Gun. I mean, you know, you sort of, well, I don't know. I mean, even for a 4-pack, I mean, a lot of times they're reasonably priced. Yeah. So, I mean,
this,
you know,
6.8%.
But they deliver a quality product every time, so.
Yeah, go out and find you some and drink you another.
Enjoy the view from the blood red sky.
And it's time for some science. You ready to get Tony Stark up in here and learn some mad science?
I feel like it's been like a month since you've tried to educate or do anything science related.
Yeah, no, we kind of did a short show last week because we kind of fucked off. But that episode was interesting because it was just, we haven't done like a random just sit down and talk bullshit episode with no like real topic. So, I mean, it was fun. So
I thought that was every episode.
But yeah, but at least we try to keep it in like a theme instead of just, I mean, we had a vague theme, but yeah, that shit went off the rails quick. So I'm not going to say it's aliens, but it might be aliens. April 16th, science. NASA launched a new telescope, and this may be our best shot of finding aliens or at least new planets. TESS, the Transitioning Exoplanet Survey Satellite, is a new telescope. It has 4 cameras on it and can view 85% of the sky at once, which, you know, is a lot more than we could see before, and also like view millions of planets at once. Basically what they're doing is pointing it at, you know, about 500,000 of the brightest stars in the sky and looking for planets outside of our solar system. Basically, this thing looks at these bright stars and kind of detects any slight dimming of the star as a planet would pass between it and the telescope. That's how they kind of can trigger that, oh, there's something orbiting that star. And, you know, that's going to kind of give them places to search later, because in 2020, they're launching the James Webb Space Telescope. That's going to be, you know, kind of like the old Hubble telescope. But, you know, once this test kind of points all the places that we may find planets, when this new telescope goes up in 2020, it's really going to be able to focus in on those spots and see if we can discover, you know, new planets, maybe new life.
And yeah, I mean, far, I think it sinks, what, like 30 to 100 times, you know, brighter than, you know, what was observed through Kepler.
Yeah, I mean, it's already so, I mean, greatly expanded on the work done by,
you know,
Kepler.
All the additional detail, and, you know, that's just going to make follow-up that much better. I mean, you know, some of the images that, you know, have bounced back within the last 5 years have just been absolutely, you know, kind of awe-inspiring. It's like, holy shit, you know? I mean, this is almost like I stepped out on the back porch, you know, but, you know, here we are talking, you know, thousands and thousands of miles, like.
Yeah, because we talked to, you know, some scientists at last Dragon Con about, you know, the Mars rover and stuff we're kind of doing in our own solar system. But yeah, this is, they're saying that they expect to find around 3,000 candidates for follow-up when the new telescope goes into orbit. And they said that, you know, they're pretty much going to range from gas giants to small rocky planets, but they're thinking there's going to be about 500 similar to Earth size. So, you know, trying to find other planets is literally like a needle in a haystack. There's so much vastness to space, but this is definitely going to narrow down our search parameters when we start, you know, delving deeper in another 2 years when the big boy telescope gets up there.
That's awesome.
I mean, maybe we can find Tatooine, or, because, like, you know, it says it's happening in a galaxy far, far away. We can find that galaxy far, far away.
Maybe we can find Thanos before Thanos finds us.
Or, you know, I finished reading Armada finally, so, you know, maybe we'll find the whatever consortium or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
The freaking, you know, space drones are going to come after us. Which we've not been able to talk since I finished that book. So after the mics go off, we're going to have to, like, talk Armada, because that's an interesting follow-up to Ready Player One.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, you know what? We could talk about it in news, because, you know, I felt like we talked, we've, you know, definitely mentioned Armada, so maybe we can go into it in a little bit, you know, more detail in news and, you know, pique people's interest a little more, especially folks that, you know, did enjoy Ready Player One.
So in other weird news, you know, whatever you put online, it's not always safe, and it's going to be there forever. You know, a recent serial killer who was active from 1974 to 1986, you know, and had committed 50 rapes and about 12 murders, has finally been caught. Joseph James D'Angelo, a.k.a. the Golden State Killer, was caught by using a DNA ancestry website.
Yeah, I mean, for people that don't think that their information is going into databases, you know, whether it be digital, you know, biological, or, you know, fuck, just about everything has a camera and a microphone on it these days. So, I mean,
yeah, big brother, you know, is watching.
Targeted ads are, you know, able to do that because we've given said permission to do so. So, I mean, I...
Yeah, the big one that everyone advertises, Ancestry.com and the whatever 23andMe thing, where you can kind of submit your DNA profile and they will try to, you know, tell you where your ancestry comes from and find other potential long-lost relatives. Most of that stuff, you know, won't release information without a court order. But another site, GEDmatch.com, based out of Florida, was less secure in their thing, since it's more of a, you know, free-to-use type site. You know, they were able to get a hold of their records and run them against a DNA match they had on this killer, and found several people that were close enough that they could then, you know, kind of look at that family and narrow it down to people of the right age, the right sex, and what, and came down to this one candidate who they then, you know, observed closer and got a DNA sample from him, and then, you know, got an actual match to solve this case. So it, not necessarily, not even his DNA was on the site, but one of his many, many family members had tried to locate somebody through this weird, you know, DNA ancestry site and eventually got him busted. So, you know, 20, 30 years later, it wasn't high to, it wasn't like, you know, police surveillance, fingerprints, CSI that caught this dude. It was somebody fucking running DNA on a ancestry site. I mean, that's like some thinking out of the box shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, profiles, data analytics, and everything else. I mean, the your information is going to be used. That's what I don't understand, you know, about, you know, some of the Cambridge, you know, Analytica and, you know, some of the other stuff. Like, that happens all the time. Like, not just during elections, but, I mean...
Yeah, since it was an open source database of more than 650,000 genetically created profiles, you know, since it was basically public information, there was no need for warrants or anything, so they, you know, cast a large net and track this dude down. So, you know, this may be, you know, future police work here now. They're like, oh, we caught this one guy. Let's start, like, checking all, like, unsolved mysteries through DNA sites and see who we can catch. So, yeah. Again, I am not putting my information online for anything.
Too bad you already have.
They're going to track me down with this podcast. My alias of Smoking Joe is not good enough. People are going to find me. I'm pretty sure
they'll quickly give you back.
Oh. Well, another thing that's kind of... this could be the first step toward the Ghost in the Shell type future of replacing our bodies with the, you know, robot shells and keeping our brains alive. Because a new experiment reported in MIT Technological Review, made by Yale University, they've been able to keep brains alive up to 36 hours after death. So, you know, they, you know, it's not something that they've been able to reanimate, you know, the organ by restoring circulation and electricity. You know, they're not, you know, alive per se, but they're have showed, like, you know, healthy and capable of normal activity, maintaining these cells by maintaining, you know, circulation and electricity and stuff like that for up to 36 hours. So, I mean, this could definitely be something that, you know, so far has been experimented on pigs, which I guess is closest to humans, because, I mean, I know people who have pig heart valves and stuff like that. So, you know, pigs aren't that far off, you know, biologically from us. You know, if this is something that kind of gets into human use, imagine someone who is catastrophically injured being able to pull their brain out and keep it alive while they work on the body. You know, that gives them, like, you know, so it's not one of them things where you're having to try to keep them alive while you repair the stuff. You know, if you can pull a brain, throw it in a jar and keep it alive for, you know, longer amounts of time while they keep, you know, working on the body, or even replacing the body as the technology advances, that's going to be, like, huge. Weird. Could you imagine waking up in the hospital and you're in a different body? You're like, oh shit, this dude's got a six pack. Sweet. I scored. So now it's like, you know, checking that organ donor card on the back of your license isn't just organ. You know, you're freaking, oh, you're donating your whole body.
But I mean, you know, and, you know, the reanimating of dead brains, you know, was a, you know, thing that just came to light too, not too long ago. And I mean, could you imagine, like, as a person, you know, that if your conscious brain was kept alive, but your physical body, so all of the sensory, all of the stuff that, you know, kind of completes those thoughts is gone. So you're just left with truly...
Oh, that's like a hell.
If
there was some way to, like, basically plug you into the Matrix and keep you in some kind of, like, either sedated, so you're conscious, you're alive, but your conscious mind is not active, or you're in some kind of dream state while they repair or replace, that's cool. But being just a living head in a jar, that's some scary shit. Neuroscientist Nina Sestan, I'm pronouncing that right, explained that they obtained between 100 and 200 pig brains from a slaughterhouse and used pumps, heaters, and artificial blood to restore an oxygen supply, and basically reanimated these brains to some capacity, you know, for up to those, like I said, 36 hours. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting first step.
New to shit, zombies. Man. Pig zombies. And pigs will eat anything.
Zombie pigs.
Just remember, folks, that somebody said, hey, we should make a movie with sharks and tornadoes.
Well, it's not science without...
redefine the whole meaning of swine flu.
Oh, God. Friggin' that's the jump, you know, as we get zombie pigs.
I've ruined it.
Well, it's not a science segment without potential Skynet news. We've talked about robots doing other stuff, and I haven't looked into this yet. I just saw it pop up today, so I haven't really looked into it. But Boston Dynamics and their little robot dogs they've been building, the new version is scary as fuck. It looks like a xenomorph. It's got this weird, like, long, elongated head. I'm like, oh, so now not only we're building Terminators, we're building fucking Xenomorph Terminators now. I mean, this motherfucker looks scary as shit. But that's not what I'm talking about.
You gotta have aliens and predators. I mean, you know.
Maybe next episode I'll dive into that one more, because I just saw it pop up on my feed earlier, so I haven't had a chance. I just saw the picture, and I'm like, oh, that's scary as fuck. But there's a new AI named... It's ARXIV... Arxiv, by Kyoto University, who's writing poetry. I mean, maybe he's not going to be a Terminator killer. He's going to be the sensitive, snowflakey robot that hangs out at coffee shops and writes poetry.
Nah, man. It's AR-14. Not quite as destructive as an AR-15 yet, but I mean, so it is not an assault robot.
They say. But unfortunately, the poetry he's been writing is apparently kind of horrible. As an example, here is one of his poems. And silence is drawn between the trees, only the beginning of light. And here's another. I am a coal truck by a broken heart. I have no sound, the sound of my heart. I am not. So maybe not a, you know, New York Times bestseller, but yeah, you know, robots are being creative. They're not all killers and attack dog alien things. Maybe.
Yet. Maybe. Or if they are, then...
Or it writes you a sweet haiku before it kills you.
I didn't get my minimum, you know, 10-line stanza, so no, I you can't terminate me.
That's what causes the robot uprising. Somebody gives him a bad review, and he goes full Terminator. Oh, and with that, we'll be back with some news.
The Terminus Doctor Who podcast brings you passionate geekery that's often effusive, sometimes loquacious, but always full of love for the world of Doctor Who. Armed with a queer woman's perspective, you can look forward to the show covering both the new and classic series, as well as other forays into the so-called Hooniverse. So please check out the Terminus podcast for your dorky dose of deep discussion. All, of course, brought to you with a fun side, because as the Fourth Doctor once said, there's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes. So head on over to terminus.libsyn.com to find the podcast. The Terminus Doctor Who podcast. Queer, opinionated, Whovian, female.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about space. So
the final frontier.
In keeping with our theme, we got our first kind of teaser trailer thing for the upcoming Predator movie. And I'm kind of meh. You know, it's like Predator 2.0.
Oh. One of the descriptions I heard online was, it looks like a CW show and not a good CW show.
Well, I mean, to your point earlier, it's being directed by the same guy that did Iron Man 3, the worst of the Iron Man films. So, I mean, not necessarily a...
Plus, it's... They bring a kid into it, which is kind of always a... there's going to be a kid at the center of it. It looks like, you know, him, I guess a package got delivered to the wrong address, and he's like, oh, there's a Predator suit in here. So is the kid going to take over the suit or something? Is it going to be like, was it Guyver, that anime where the kid finds the alien suit? Or did they not learn anything from the disastrous first Venom trailer where you never saw the freaking symbiote? We barely got any actual Predator in the Predator trailer. Just brief, like, you know, shots of somebody chokeslamming a dude against a wall. I mean, and the sweet crawl, like, freaking ninja star thing. That's pretty much the only... And we got a spaceship. That's pretty much it.
What more do you need for a Predator movie?
Okay. Some predating.
There were three laser dots. There was the, you know, distinctive click noise. There was the, you know, three-bladed weapon. That is Predator.
Pretty much.
He doesn't have a spear yet. They haven't upgraded to Predator 3 yet. This is just 2.0, okay?
I do want to see Arnold show up in this, though. If they show up Arnold as, like, old man Arnold, they'd be like, I fought this once before.
Do you think they would do it? No, I don't know. I don't know that he would entertain the idea.
I don't know. He's supposedly coming back for freaking Terminator 3, 4, 5, whatever the fuck this new one is, at least in some capacity. So, you know, Arnold will do anything for a paycheck.
Yes, you want me to be pregnant? All right, I will do this movie.
Yeah, you're right. I did play a pregnant man once.
You want me to be Danny DeVito's brother? All right, I will do it. Arnold will do anything.
Maybe we'll just get some Austrian death machine.
Can we just get, like, Expendables 4? Come on.
No, you're asking for way too much there. You're getting Predator, okay? We're talking about Predator.
All right.
Anyway, hashtag not my Predator.
Yeah, this very much looks like it could be like something out of the Arrowverse, yeah, CW show. There's too many like good looking people in it that like this is like definitely should be a TV show. But yeah, it just didn't look Predator to me yet. But then again, it's just a teaser. You know, the second Venom trailer was a little bit better than the teaser we got for that. So. It's Predator. I can't not see it. Even if it sucks, I still have to see it to be like, yep, that sucked.
I don't know. I'm still really good, you know, good on not seeing the new Power Rangers film, a.k.a. Pacific Rim 2. So, I mean...
I haven't even looked up that one free online. That's how much I've, like... I've not heard good things.
Not entertaining that idea.
I don't like Finn. I don't like Finn in a freaking mech suit.
So, you know, Atlanta, obviously got transferred to Wakanda and, you know, really making a scene, you know, becoming...
I mean, Hollywood South, pretty much what it's become. I got to get into acting. I mean, because now I'm like, if I want to be an actor, I got to move all the way to Hollywood. Now I can just go down an hour down the road. Like, I got to get my headshots together and start taking some acting classes.
There you go.
Every movie needs a funny fat guy. I can be that funny fat guy. You know, Kevin Smith's like, you know, not appearing in front of camera as much. I can be the funny fat guy in movies. I can not talk. Probably not, but I can do other things.
Well, you know, one of the places I drive by almost on a daily basis, Gwinnett Place Mall, has been turned upside down. Bad pun.
Yeah, if you've been to Gwinnett Place Mall lately, it is the mall people have forgotten. That place looks like something in a post-apocalyptic world without any Hollywood set dressing.
Well, apparently it is getting, or parts of the mall anyway, have been transformed.
We just found like a dead body there recently that had been there for months and no one noticed. I mean, that mall is like on its last legs.
Well, I mean, about to be a lot more action, because Stranger Things Season 3 has started filming at, you know, some of the entrances and stuff. So, you know, kind of interesting to...
Yeah, they don't have to do any set dressing. They're like, all right, this looks like the Upside Down. It's a decaying mall.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean...
Yeah, because I did see some...
I mean, it. I guess it is fitting. I mean, you know, Stranger Things with all the 80s references. The mall did open in the 80s. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's like, hey, guys, we've got a shell. I mean, we don't really need to do much else.
Yeah, I forgot where. I think I might have been East Lake or something. There was somebody had posted some photos in a town in Georgia that I guess they're filming some other stuff. And you could see, you saw, you know, Hopper's Blazer on the street and a Hawkins PD car out there and a bunch of stuff that looked like it was from the 70s and 80s. I'm like, it's back. I can't wait for the first two seasons have been awesome. Can't wait for season three. If nothing else, we'll have another episode that we can do. return to the Upside Down.
Yes.
Part three.
All right.
This time it's personal.
So we talked about it on, you know, previous news. A little announcement has been made for, you know, some show revolving around some animated scientist dude who has a bit of a drinking problem, but my God, people.
I'm Pickled Rick.
Rick and Morty, season, what,
three?
Three?
I need to catch up. I've not watched a lot of previous Rick and Mortys. I need to deep dive on that and get caught up for the... Yeah, because they've been approved for... Or no. Actually, it's season four now.
Yep.
70 new episodes.
Who's doing news here? Okay. Oh. Is it...
Go ahead.
No. Yeah. Lead the way.
That's really all I know. I saw it on Facebook. They got approved for 70 new episodes.
Hey, that's Rick and Morty was renewed knowledge. For, you know, 70 new episodes. So, wubba wubba.
Szechuan sauce, bitches.
Yeah. Man, the power of social media.
Yeah, because I've seen, the guy behind it was on some podcast, and he was like, at that point, he's like, yeah, we don't know. Like, I would totally keep doing the show, but we've not heard anything from Comedy Central or wherever. So
Adult Swim, dude.
Adult Swim. Yeah, Cartoon Come Network, on. My bad. Like I said, I haven't watched a lot of it. I never watch shit when it's actually on. I always see stuff online. But yeah, even like, you know, as of like 2 or 3 months ago, he was like, yeah, I don't know what's happening with Rick and Morty. I'd love to do more, but somebody has to pay me to do more. And finally, I guess someone paid him to do more.
70 more.
Yeah.
That's a long season. But I mean, I think Rick and Morty, you know, are one of the ones only doing like the 15-minute, you know, shows, which is what Adult Swim used to be really great at. And then they started going to the hour-long stuff and content kind of started to dwindle a bit, but...
And, you know, so, of course, we will see more Rick and Morty at Dragon Con. That was definitely, Pickle Rick was definitely the most seen costume, either Rick or Pickle Rick, at Dragon Con last year. So, the streak will continue.
I'm just going to be Pickle Deadpool.
That's an amazing idea. I was trying to talk Amanda into being April O'Neil, since she's a redhead. And I did find some like old VHS camcorders at like at a freaking thrift store the other day. I'm like, here you go. Here's your old ass like news camera.
Do you really want to walk around a 50-pound camera during like?
I mean, I could like take the thing apart and strip out the internals, where it's just the case, so it wouldn't be that heavy.
But dude, that'd kind of be awesome. Or walk around with a retro, you know, VHS, you know, just recording, you know, the ongoings of con. I mean,
straight Stranger Things, man. I mean, it was $20. If that thing works, I may go back and get it, because we could, like, you know, fake 80s shows and be like, hey, look, we found this old VHS.
How are we going to play it? How are you going to find VHS?
Dude, we still have VCRs at the house. my wife is a collector of ancient technology.
Artifacts, man. Artifacts.
I've got Super Nintendos and VHS players at the house.
Well,
all right. I don't know where I'd find blank tapes to record on anymore, but I'd have something to play it if we found something to record on.
Well, that's just excellent. Haha, segueing into a new
excellent topic.
Yep. So, new Bill and Ted 3 plot details have been revealed.
Oh, this is like a rumor I've been hearing for years.
Well, apparently Bill and Ted Face the Music is finally happening. They got their funding. Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter are confirmed to return.
I mean, he's been killing it, pun intended, with the John Wick series. So, you know, Keanu Reeves is big man again. So, yeah, I mean, if this is what he wants to do, I'm down for it. I can't wait to see, to revisit this old man Bill and Ted and see what happens.
Yeah, so, you know.
We just don't have a freaking Carlin, though. That's the only sad part, is we're not going to have Rufus.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, if they can make a CGI Princess Leia for freaking Rogue One, we can get a CGI Carlin.
No, you can't, because some things are just sacred, and you don't fuck with them. Okay?
I did see, I should have bought it for you. I saw some, when I was dicking around antique malls today, I found some Carlin vinyl albums at one of the antique malls. I was like, I was so tempted to buy it.
So, you know, just basically, you know, here's just some plot details from the interview. Basically, you know, Bill and Ted will be living as middle-aged men who, you know, gave up their dreams of rock and roll stardom. William Sadler's character's death from Bill and Ted, Bogus Journey, will be returning. This is not, hey, let's all cash in out on the Bill and Ted thing for money. This is the opposite. That's what, you know, the co-writer was saying. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
at least it's not a reboot.
It's not a reboot, but I mean, I don't know, man. Like, just certain things have certain feels, and I don't know. It's not the same without Carlin.
Yeah. I mean, can they recapture the magic? Because that's one of those things that, like, has such a, like, place in my heart that, you know, at least someone's not rebooting it and trying to redo the original movie. It's the OG guys back. So, like, I'll definitely give it a shot.
I mean, you can't not go see it. I mean, just, you can't, but.
Where are they going to find a phone booth time machine? There's no phone booths anymore.
I don't know. Maybe the doctor just left the TARDIS lying around, you know?
Yes. Like, bro, we found a phone with the one phone booth. Wow, this is a lot bigger on the inside. We don't have to cram 50 guys in this one phone booth anymore.
And it comes with a cool screwdriver.
Let me tune my guitar with this.
I mean,
oh, that.
That's, I mean, there was the pick of destiny. I mean, you know.
That's the new Carlin. They get one of the old doctors to show up. Because, I mean, freaking Peter Capaldi was a guitar player.
That could work.
Get Peter Capaldi. He even looks good in a trench coat. I mean, get Peter Capaldi to be the new Rufus. Because that would be that'd be the weirdest, like, just, you know, not, even if he's not playing the doctor, him playing a time-traveling guitar player is just that little, like, just kind of nod to Doctor Who that this movie will need.
Yeah, no, that could absolutely be awesome. Something else that might be awesome, I don't know yet, but Paramount and Hasbro are developing a G.I. Joe spinoff movie revolving around Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes is always a badass, kind of a high point in some of the films. So, I mean,
yeah, this I'm definitely interested because the first G.I. Joe movie was all right, but it really didn't feel like G.I. Joe. And then the second one they did with The Rock, they're like, let's kill off everyone from that first movie that sucked, except for Snake Eyes. He's the only guy we're keeping from the original film. And that second one was very much more G.I. Joe and looked a lot more like the cartoons. So if, you know, Snake Eyes gets his own film, but I mean, Snake Eyes doesn't talk, so can Snake Eyes really be a leading man? It's going to be a silent film.
Which could work!
Yeah, he's going to need a... He's gonna need all action. He's going to need a J to his Silent Bob. There's got to be somebody to drive the dialogue that he has a sidekick.
Sidekick. I mean, it was, you know, toyed with that, you know, the G.I. Joe franchise would be rebooted with a more millennial approach. Oh, I guess G.I. Joe is going to go straight social justice warrior. I don't know.
they're going to give him a Stephen Hawking's voice box.
But I mean, I don't know, Joe. I don't know. I mean, you know, that was probably one of my, you know, favorite G.I. Joe toys was Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes is always a badass. Yes. And that rock version of G.I. Joe wasn't bad. So I'm down for a Snake Eyes film.
I don't know. I don't know. So, you know, kind of a throwback to the most random episode ever. And one of the ideas that, you know, kind of we talked about, it's weird. There's that crazy Skynet thing going on where we say something and all of a sudden, you know, rumors start circulating. But apparently Mike Myers wants to try to do a new Austin Powers film told from Dr. Evil's point of view.
How are we going How do we do that without Mini-Me? I mean, Mini-Me was the highlight of those last two films. I mean, it's going to be weird without Vern Troyer in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now there hasn't been any movement on the idea, but, you know, I mean, that was always one of the characters that you really didn't get a whole lot of backstory to or anything else. I mean, I definitely think that Dr. Evil...
We go prequel and show Dr. Evil in his prime?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, because Dr. Evil isn't quite menacing or anything else. I mean...
Do we do the anti-hero where Dr. Evil is now taking up the Austin Powers mantle and decide he wants to help humanity?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... It just came across my newsfeed, and I was like, huh. Like, 15 years, you haven't heard anything about Austin Powers. We do the most random episode ever.
We need to start getting paid for these ideas, man.
Fucking A. All right, and switching gears. So, you know, any fans of PlayStation and Xbox that like to play games online are familiar with monthly service fees or yearly online subscription. Apparently, Nintendo is working on rolling out their paid online subscription service for the Nintendo Switch. Looks like it's going to boast a $20 per year price tag. Significant.
That's not bad. I mean,
but yeah,
a year of PlayStation Gold is what, $60 something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, it's the same as, you know, Xbox, but. Then again, there's a lot more content when it comes to, you know,
you get
AAA.
Like the monthly free downloads and stuff with
and
also their online like catalog of like, almost like a Netflix of video games that you can download.
Well, you're kind of going to get some of that, you know, as of right now, the way that it looks with the Switch. But, you know, I'm sorry, like, PC, Xbox, PlayStation 4 just dominate in hardware. Like, I'm not going to fucking play a GTA 5 on Nintendo Switch. I'm not going to play Call of Duty on Nintendo Switch. I'm not going to, you know, I guess for the folks, you know, with the Battle Royale thing of PUBG and Fortnite, okay, you know, or Minecraft or something, I mean.
Well, with Nintendo is kind of become like the kids system, with the exception of that last Zelda game I heard was pretty epic.
I mean, Breath of the Wild is fucking awesome.
If they do this whole online thing and do something kind of like PlayStation did, where you could get access to their back catalogs of games.
Well, here's what you're going to get.
If I could play some like OG Nintendo games, it might be worth it.
Would you shut up talking for a second? Because
tell us, what are we getting for $20 a year?
Well, in addition to the online service, there is classic games. Looks like you're going to get soccer, tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros., Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Dr. Mario, The Legend of Zelda, and Super Mario Brothers.
OG Zelda.
But, I mean, you know, as well as cloud saves and... But...
Super Mario Brothers with a save point. That's a game changer, literally. Not having to do that shit in three lives anymore would be kind of...
That kind of defeats the purpose.
I mean, had to be skilled back in the day.
Absolutely.
Damn, kids, get off my lawn.
Yep. That's all I got for news. Yay!
So with that, check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at CigarNerdPod. Go get your shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com or our Zazzle store. Links are on our website and our Facebook page. And don't forget to get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code CigarNerds. And with that, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, we all fall down. Magic with a kick! And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.